wrapping up our series called Take Heart. And it's all on how there is real trouble in this world. There's real pain. We talked about that you can be in doubt, that you can have questions, and that you're not some horrible person because you might have a question about how good God is, that you might actually read it in the Bible and you're like, I don't know if I'm fully on board with that. And the week before that, we talked on bitterness, being angry. And the whole concept is that there is a good and beautiful God who wants good things for you. And when you can believe the words of Jesus in John 16:33, in this world you will find trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. That a healthy follower of Jesus is not someone who avoids pain. You're not thriving just when you get around pain. I'm a big fan of going around pain if it's possible. But there's times in our life, there's seasons in our life where we just can't, for whatever reason. And it's in those moments that we do not have to let that pain define who you are. And there's a lot of people here, a lot of people are listening to this podcast even now, that you feel like that pain defines and dictates who you are. And what Jesus is saying is, take heart, because I get to define who you are. I get to tell you your value and your worth. And what Jesus says about us is that you are deeply loved, that Jesus is a big fan of who you are. And today, we are talking about silence, talking about feeling unnoticed, talking about being disconnected. Like, have you been here before? Like, maybe with friends? You're just in a pocket in your life, you're in a season of your life where no matter what you do, you just feel like you're just not that connected to your friends. And for whatever reason, you feel like you do all the right things. You do, like, push-ups before you walk into the house, right? You do the slow drive-bys, like, by your friend's house. Like, are they outside? Yeah? No? No? Okay. Right? You text them. You do everything you can to engage them. And even though they might engage you back, it just doesn't feel important. You don't feel valued. And you just kind of walk through those seasons of your life where you might just stay at home. You wait for someone to call you. And you feel like you're doing all the right things, but still nothing. Or maybe, like, I talked to so many, we're actually doing a series in the fall all on friendships. Because I talk to so many people as they go through transitions in their life. Maybe you're going from your 20s to your 30s, or you're going from having no kids to kids, or you travel, or you move, or you get a new job. And all of a sudden, like, your pockets of friends change. And as you navigate that is incredibly hard. And you just feel misunderstood. What do you do? Have you been here with God before? Where you feel like you do the slow drive-bys? You cry out to God, you do the text, you do everything you can, you do all the right things. You feel like, well, how come God doesn't speak back to me? How come I don't feel God? How come I don't experience God? Like, is it because I did something wrong? Do I have to stop doing some things? Is there, like, some hidden sin in my life that's keeping me from hearing God's voice? Is it that I have to start doing more? Do I have to be a nicer person? Maybe it's the devil, right? Like, we can blame the devil for a lot of things. You know what? It could be. It could be hidden sin. It could be that you need to be a nicer person. It could be the devil. From my experience, when I hit these silent parts of my life, it's hard. Sometimes it just might be God doing something good and beautiful in me. And as we talk with this, I wish I could give you, like, top three things why you don't hear God's voice. I'm not going to do that. Because if you're here and you just feel disconnected from Jesus, like, people have called it, like, the desert time or a dry time, where if you're feeling that, you're in, like, really good company. You're an excellent company. Because for as long as people have been following God, throughout the Bible we see this, through the history of the church, people have walked through this. There's hundreds and hundreds of books walking through what do you do when you can't hear God. But all too often, we, again, like we talked earlier, we attach shame to that. We attach shame to saying, oh, I'm not a professional Christian, because a professional Christian feels God all the time. I'm not a really good follower of Jesus because when I pray for people, I don't hear these words. I don't experience God in worship. There's pockets that all of us walk through. And if you haven't, it probably will happen. Because this is like a normal thing. It's a normal thing, and it's a healthy thing. And I wish we could get around. I wish I could just stay connected to God all the time. and feel him all the time. But there is pockets where I don't. So we're going to walk through, what do we do? We're actually read Psalm 40, where it talks about this, and it's a beautiful, beautiful passage, because we can trust that in through all this, God might have something good. Because when we can move away from just feelings, and we can move towards knowing, we might get in on this mystery of the kingdom of God. So we're going to read, we're going to be reading out of Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, and I threw it up on there because I'm going to use a different translation. I'm going to use the Message. We do have Bibles. If you want one, if you don't own a Bible, you can take a Bible. We have them on the back table. When you come in, you can grab it, and if you don't have one, you can take it home. And we'd love to have you do it. Yeah, it's up there. All right, let's read it. It says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked, and finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. I wait, and I wait, and finally, I love that word, finally he looked. See, David here, he wrote this. It says that he is waiting patiently. He's waiting patiently, and then after that, finally, God heard him. We don't know the time that happened in here. We know that David was in this, we call this pit, right? Like this dark night of the soul. This place where he felt like God could not hear him. We don't know how long it was. Maybe it was 3 minutes. Maybe it was 5 years. Who knows? But it's interesting. He said he activates it to God. And then finally, at some point, God turns and looks at him and hears him and lifts him out of the pit. So this is a normal thing to feel distant from God. And this is the central part to this. The part that we have to hold on to is we have to have faith. Have to have faith. The way we define faith here, and I repeat it a lot because I feel like it's incredibly important. Faith is believing, biblical faith is believing that God has nothing but good things for you. Nothing but good things for you. Not easy things. Not easy things. Not just nice things. God has good things for you. If we believe that, if that is true, then no matter what you walk through, no matter what pain, no matter what season you're in, we can hold on saying, even when I experience silence from God, even though I feel distant from God, I'm going to trust that it's good. I'm going to trust that maybe God sees something I don't. Maybe God knows something I don't. Maybe I'm not the smartest person in the room. Because when you can hold on to that, it changes everything. Because that's where you can get away from the feeling. And feelings are very good. Like the Vineyard movement, we're not going to be a movement where we say, no, we're not going to have anything with feelings. No, we want all of it. That there's a deep, life-giving experience when we can come into the kingdom of God. But we can't let the feelings define the truth. They can like make it beautiful, and they can like God can get our attention, but there still has to be this truth. Because think about it, if we let our feelings dictate truth, and we do this at times, think how messy our lives would be. Think about like your partner, or maybe like your best friend. Because you can have like moments with your friends, or moments with your partner, or moments with your spouse, where you can hit this place and you just feel absolutely in love. I call it the schmoopy moments, right? You know, you're schmoopy, you know, you're schmoopy, right? And those places where you had me at hello, all right? Like those rich times, and you can experience something like finishing each other's sentences and, you know, petting each other's faces, whatever you do, all right? So there's this, that was kind of weird, but you can go from that where you feel so in love to the next morning you wake up and there's your husband eating cereal the same sloppy way he does every morning, right? With his dirty socks on the table, right? In those moments, you probably don't feel in love. You don't walk in and say, oh, I'm so lucky. Thank you for talking with your mouth open. I love that. Thank you, right? And then there's even harder things than just socks on the table. There's seasons with your friends. There's seasons in, like, your marriage where you don't feel in love. And maybe it's something that they've done to you, done against you, or you've done to them. Or maybe it's just life. See, when think about it this way. Think about it also with parents. There's times that you don't feel in love with your kids, right? Just recently in this past year, I got to wake up in the middle of the night and there was puke everywhere, right? And did you invite 100 people in here? Was there a frat party in here I didn't know about? And I wasn't doing, fist air pumps. Yeah, I get to clean this up. This is awesome. I feel so good to clean this up. You don't feel in love, but what do? You give your best to your kids every single day, even if they don't say thank you. You wake up every day saying, I'm going to lay down my life because I love you. With your partner, you lay down your life and you give your partner love again and again and again. Why? Because you feel it sometimes. It's a lot easier when you feel it. Why do you do it? Because you know that it leads to the best life possible. Because you're acting in a Jesus way. You're a Jesus-looking person when you lay down your life and you give love over and over again. See, when we get to these places where we feel silent, we feel distant from God, we can trust, even though we don't feel him. And that might last. It might last for days. It might last for years. I was just talking to someone. They feel like they were in that season for 8 years. He said, I never gave up. I doubted. I cried. I was cynical. But I never gave up. So what do? When you're in these seasons, do we just say, okay, I'm just going to sit in the room patiently and wait for God to speak to me? No, there's some things we can do in the midst of it that we see. The first one is this. Well, I got to make sure I get this right. So when we can have that truth, we can hold on to what God is doing. Oh, yeah. First thing you can do when you're in this season, and if you're here in this season, I hope this is life-giving to you. First one is this. Embrace boring things. Be okay with boring. We live in a society where we live for the moment, right? Because we want to experience it. We want to have that feeling. And we're great at distracting ourselves. We're so good at that. From Instagram to our phones to texting to just always having to just live in that moment, always have something higher and higher and better and better. You can't live that way. We try. But there is normal to have silence. It's normal to experience boring. And if you're like me, I'm a high, high extrovert, and I'm a high feeler. That's why I cry all the time, right? I want everything to be a 10. Absolutely want everything to be a 10. And if I want to go out with my friends, if Nikki and I are going on a date, I'm like, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best ever. And I feel like if it's just like a 7, I'm like, oh, what is wrong? What am I doing wrong? But when you're in that moment of silence with God, God is doing something in you. If you don't feel it, he's doing something with you and in you. So embracing boring things is you can be silent. You can rest. Slowing down is not a trick from the devil. Slowing down and being quiet and recentering yourself is an invitation from God to hear his voice, to learn, to be present, to receive. See, when we can slow down, we can actually remember and remind ourselves. I get a picture of this arrow and recenter the arrow towards what we're really hoping for. Because when you're in pain, when you're in the season of where you just feel distant, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, what am I really living for? What is my hope even for? My hope just to get away from pain? Paul says this in Romans 8. Romans 8, 24, he says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. When you can take a moment and pause, and you go back and say, what is my hope again, God? Because when you're going, it's hard sometimes to hear God's voice. And again, for people like me, the idea of slowing down was so hard for me. Because I felt like I was losing. It actually felt weak. Sit down for a half hour and just look out the window and let my mind just process all those things. It felt like it's a waste of time. Why? Because I got to win. Why? Some of you are shaking your head. Yes, yeah. Because you feel like I have to accomplish things. And really, what's the truth behind that? is that I am valuable when I am working. I am valuable when I'm busy. And if I'm not busy, if I'm not working, if I'm not winning, if I'm not succeeding, if I'm not thriving, then I am losing. Like God can do amazing things in the silent. For me, we had this guy named Larry Warner. Larry, I think he was a spiritual director. And I think I've shared this before, but he got up and he's like this, like, hey man, everyone believe in your dreams. It's gonna be really great. And I'm like, all right, who's this guy? And he had us do this exercise where we had to blow bubbles. He's like, you're gonna blow bubbles, man. It's gonna be awesome. And I'm like, oh, eye roll. And he's like, well, you're just gonna watch the bubbles float into the woods. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to blow bigger bubbles than everyone else. My bubbles are going to be better. I turn into like this competition, like, I'm going to win. And I'm going to blow all my bubbles, and I'm going to go back and sit back down. And he said, don't talk. Just watch the bubbles, and maybe you might hear God. I'm like, okay, yeah, great, Larry. We're happy for you. So I got out there, started blowing the bubbles, and it was funny. By just going through that exercise, even though I started in a very sarcastic place, I had to slow myself down and watch the rhythm of that bubble as it floated, and I noticed the colors, started hearing things from the birds. It totally, totally worked to slow down. What would that look like for you? What does slowing down look like? Maybe you feel fear behind it, because if you know you slow down, you might actually see things that you're avoiding seeing. That underneath that busyness, there is truth that you're afraid of. There's doubts, there's questions, there's memories, there's words that you don't want to feel anymore. And if you stay busy, you don't have to hear them. Like what if God might be using that silence? What if you might be using those pockets as a way to hear him and be able to see who you really are? And the reason, for me, I was afraid of being quiet because I knew that I'd have to start dealing with some things in my life. And why did I not want to do that? Again, because I felt like I was losing. And if I was not at 100 and there was things really wrong with me, then I'm a horrible person. But it's funny, when you get quiet and I feel like God speaks to me, you know, he doesn't say, Chris, you should have tried harder. Chris is such a loser. He says that I'm beautiful, and he has something for me. So embrace boring things. Go for a bike ride. Go for like an hour in the woods without your phone. Look out the window and watch birds. Be the bird lady, right? Be the bird guy. Maybe go away for 2 whole days on a camping trip by yourself, no talking. Whatever it takes, practice the art of silence. Because in those moments of being bored, in those moments, God is doing something in those moments. Next thing is this. When you feel like you're in a silence with God, have honest conversations. Be really, really honest. We talked about this last week about having real feelings about doubting God. That God is not afraid of your honesty. Just because you feel angry, just because you feel sad, just because you feel like you're in pain. Like, we should have honest conversations with God and with people. If you're in this moment of silence, it says that David, he cried out. You can be honest. You can cry. You can be frustrated. You could say, God, where are you? You have to get that out. Talk about it with people. You need to have places where you can be honest and safe, where you can say, here's what I'm feeling. Because when you do that, when we hold those words, we hold those feelings, we hold that frustration, whatever might be inside, we let that be true. When you can get it out, when you can voice it out, if you can write it down, if you can put it to a song, if you put it in a painting, however you process it, you can get it out of your head. And you can see, then you can see for what it really is. If it's a fear, if it's a worry, if it's an addiction, if it is a memory or something that happened, then you can get it out. Then you can say, oh yeah, that's not true. I'm not a horrible person. I'm not a horrible dad. Like, that's mine all the time. Oh, you're such a bad dad because you can't do this. And I just let that be so true, and that feels heavy in weight. And so when I feel that, and I can say, I can process it with God, or I can process it with my wife, or I can process it with a friend, say, man, this is what I'm feeling. I feel like I'm a horrible dad. And then when they can come around me and say, Chris, that's not true. I can feel that weight that goes with me. I can feel it just go away because now I can let the truth be truth and let the lie be the lie. So if you're here and you are in that silent place, you feel distant from God, you're in that dry place, vent. Feel what you feel. Be angry. Be calm. Whatever it is, find a place where you can process it and you can do it. And lastly, we got to lean in. I love this one. When you're in a moment of silence, you still have to lean in. Being in that boredom, being in that silence might be we're going to stop and we're going to slow down, but we still have to lean in because when you lean in, you're expecting something. In Psalm 40, he says, I cried and I wait patiently. Waiting doesn't mean you give up. Waiting doesn't mean, this is done, it's over. It's still, you're engaged, waiting patiently, expecting that God's going to do good things. I think about it in basketball. When you're playing basketball, we were taught to like play defense. You got in a ready position. You were anticipating, even though your guy was coming down the court, you were anticipating what he was going to do. You just didn't wait till it happens. Like, oh, I guess I'll go over here now. All right, I'll see ya. Right? You are waiting for it to happen. We can do that with God. Because when you're leaning in, when you see him, you hear his voice. You can receive it. There's a story of Elijah. We shared a story last week about that too. Elijah wants to hear God's voice. And he's standing like in this cave on a mountain. And he looks to hear God's voice, to see God through like this big, huge flame, and he doesn't see him. He sees it like there's this earthquake, doesn't see it. There's this like this violent wind, doesn't see it. And what happens is, through a small little whisper, God speaks to him and it unglues him. Undoes him. See, when you are leaning in, when we are ready and expecting to hear God's voice, when he speaks, we can act. We can receive. It's not giving up. And this is hard to do. This is hard to do. I wish I could say, yeah, this is easy. It's very hard. But what's the purpose behind it? Because this is so important. The purpose behind it isn't God is not punishing you. The distance is not God like putting you under his thumb. It says that in verse 3 it says, he taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this, and they enter the mystery, abandoning God, abandoning themselves to God. Good thing it doesn't say abandoning God. That was wrong, right? Abandoning themselves to God. Here's what he's doing. In every single thing in your life, God is doing things in you and through you. I call it a me too God. He's inviting Lori to be a me too woman. He's inviting you to a me too place. Because when you go through the pain, when you go through these seasons, you go through the silence, God is doing something in you and he's also doing something through you. He's going to use your story. He's going to use your pain. He's going to use your celebration. He's going to use the beautiful parts to share life with people. Because when people can see something authentic, when they just don't see like flashy, churchy smiles, like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, how you doing? I'm a Christian, right? When they can get away from that, that wasn't as funny as I thought. Thanks for laughing, Dad. My dad's the only one who laughed at that. That's why I love, that's why he's always up front. He's like, that's a good one, son, keep it up. So, honestly, when you can be authentic and you can be real, then you have something to offer people. We don't need experts. For me, when I'm in pain, I don't just need an expert. I need someone to sit down with me and say, yeah, me too. Because God's going to use this season. He's going to use your pain. So when people come up to you and they say, I don't think my marriage is going to make it. I don't know how I could ever forgive him. Yeah, me too. I've been there. And it doesn't have to be an equal experience. It could be deep, hard things where you had to cry out and wait for God. It might be, I don't know how I'm ever going to hear God's voice again. Yeah, me too. I've been there. When you can be with people in pain, when people can see that you can love generously, you can love differently, even though your enemy is trying to kill you and attack you, destroy your reputation, that you can still forgive and love. Even though you have real doubts, you have real doubts about this whole Jesus thing, but you still say yes to God, that speaks to something. And from my experience, the people who I go to, the people who like encourage me and motivate me, are people who aren't like the flashy people. They're the people who like wear their struggles on their sleeve, but they still say yes to Jesus. That's the kind of community I want. That's the kind of church I want to be in. That we can have an authentic relationship with Jesus. Because even though you might be in that pit, even though you feel disconnected, maybe from life, from people, or even God, you can trust that he's good. And he's going to use this to do something good and beautiful in you and through you. So here's what I would like to do. We're going to worship for a little bit longer. You can stay as long as you want. I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to have our ministry team can come up if you're here. And this whole idea of even saying yes to Jesus, stepping into a relationship with Jesus, is something that you'd like to do. We'd love the opportunity to pray with you and talk with you what it looks like to be a Jesus-looking person. But if our ministry team come up, and here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that everything that we just felt, right? Because we just talked about how we don't feel God. In those moments of seeing beauty, and you get to see Jesus, and you get to experience Jesus, maybe some of you here, you feel like that's just not your norm, and you're in that hard season. As I pray, I encourage you just to receive from him. Receive from him. Know that he is good. And hopefully, maybe even today, you may even be able to experience his goodness. So please, pray with me. So Jesus, thank you for those people that gave their life to Jesus. Thank you that we get to share life with you. We get to do life with you instead of apart from you. And so I pray for my friends here today who just feel distant. They don't feel noticed. They feel disconnected. They cry out to you, and they're waiting patiently. God, will you pick them up? Will you rescue my friends here today from pain? Wherever they're walking through, God, will you show up? And I pray that you will use our story. Use the stories of these people who got baptized today. Use the story of our journey. Use the story of even in our silence, in those dry times. God, will you use that for people to come and experience a good and beautiful God? That we can be Me Too people. We can share life with people. So Holy Spirit, come. Amen. So if you'd like prayer for anything at all going in life, you want to stick around, we're going to worship for a little bit longer. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard and celebrating with us today. Have a great rest of your weekend.